So we're on Daf Samach Dalid Amid Beis. And the last thing we learned was about Rabbi Gamliel. So let's see if we can find the place. If you take a look at the Tzuras Adafi on Samach Dalid Amid Beis, it's like an L-shaped form, you know, backwards L. And we are up to the last word on the wide line, of the first of the wide line. So let's just reiterate what we said before. And the last discussion that we had, there was a story about Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel was on the way from Kziv. Just 1 second. Where was he? I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. He was on his way from Akko to Kziv. And he was riding on a donkey. And there was somebody who wanted to invoke Rabbi Gamliel's assistance to be matir a neder. And the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Gamliel had drunk a revius yaini talki, so that there would have to be a period of time before he could be matir the neder, in which he could be mefig the yain. And they went for 3 milin, and the Gemara says, why 3 milin? 1 mil should have been enough. So if you remember, we spoke about Italian wine, that's very strong. And then, the punchline for us today, is that Rabbi Gamliel gets off the donkey, sits down, and he's matir the neder. So the Gemara says, why was it that Rabbi Gamliel had to get off his donkey and seat himself down before he could be matir the neder? And the Gemara says that even though Rav Nachman says that you could be matir neder whether you're walking, standing, riding, you don't have to be sitting, there is a machlokas tanoim, and according to one opinion, poschim bicharata, which you'll see in the first of the wide lines here on the bottom of your Amud. Poschim bicharata means that according to this view, it's not some sort of authority that vested in the Chacham, that he can just, poof, he can be matir and neder, without any reason, without any mechanism. No. Poschim becharata. What the scholar has to do in order to be matir and neder, is he has to find what's called a Pesach. And that Pesach is called a charata. In other words, he has to find an opening, a loophole in this neder. And when the person who wants to be matir the neder, who took the vow, comes in front of the Chacham and he says, oh no, I regret taking this vow, then the Chacham is going to have to analyze the situation and probe and investigate and see, well, why do you regret? And if you would have known when you took the neder that you would regret, would you have taken the neder? And so forth and so on. That's an entire process which upgrades the status of Hataras Nedarim to a Horas Din. And just like in Horas Din, when you come in front of a judge, the judge has to sit, because sitting is the proper posture when you have to study something and investigate and use your logical methodologies to analyze, then so too in Hataras Nedarim, if you hold Poschim Becharot, and that was the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, that's why he had to get off his donkey. However, Rav Nachman holds that ein poschim becharata, which means that this is the authority that's vested in the Chacham, that he could be matir and oker neder even without any reason, and therefore there's no difference between whether he's sitting or he's standing. He doesn't have to sit and think and ponder and analyze. He just has to be matir the neder. And the Gemara wants to prove that Rav Gamliel holds poschim becharot. That's the Gemara that we want to study now. The Omar, Rabba, Bar, Bar, Chanom, Rab Yochanan, we're on the second of the wide lines here, on the bottom of Samach Dalet Amid Beis. My Posach Le, Rabbi Gamliel, who gave him, and that person who was running behind Rabbi Gamliel on the donkey, and he said to him, Bima to the Neder, Rabbi Gamliel got off his, after a certain amount of time, essentially, he got off his donkey, sat down, and he was mad to the neder. And Rabbi Yochanan wants to know, what Pesach did he find for the neder? In other words, Rabbi Gamliel was seriously investigating the neder to see if he could come up with a Pesach. Says Rabbi Yochanan, he came up with the following. Okay, this is a pasuk in Mishle. Yesh bota boter kimadkeros cherev l'shon chachamim marpe. There is someone whose speech damages like the piercing of a sword, but the language of wise men heal. Okay, so again, this pasuk in Mishle, like every pasuk in Mishle, has to be interpreted, because on the surface you're talking about someone who has damaging speech compared to a piercing of a sword, and then we have the language of a wise man to heal the damage. So Gamliel understood it the following way. Kol haboter Roy Lidokro Becheref. Anyone who declares a vow deserves to be pierced with a sword. Now, why is that so? And the answer is Yesh Lachsho Shemelo Yikayim Es Nidro. We're always afraid that he won't fulfill his neder. So this hyperbole of, you know, he should be pierced by a sword, meaning it's not a good idea to take a vow. We don't know if you'll fulfill the vow. Ela shaloshen chachomim, that the chachomim have the ability to be matir neder, marpe lo, they can save the person who took the vow from the punishment if he violates the vow. So Rav Gamliel asked this person, would you have taken this vow had you known how much the Torah, in this case Mishle, is absolutely opposed to taking a neder? That it's as if you're chayav misa in this exaggeration by taking a neder. And the person responded, no. Had I known about this interpretation, Rabbi Gamliel, of the pasuk of Mishle, I would not have taken the neder. That's called a Pesach. And based on that Pesach, where Rabbi Gamliel investigates and says that the person at the time that he took a neder was missing a certain piece of information, had he only been aware of that, he never would have taken the neder. That's called a Pesach. And therefore, we see from this statement of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Gamliel holds, Poschim Becharata. And that's why he had to get off the donkey and sit down with what we call Yishuv Hadas. That's why educational study house is called a yeshiva. Why do we call it a yeshiva? That's not just stam that we call yeshiva. Yeshiva means that when you learn something, you should study it by yeshiva das. And when you're standing, you know, you're moving this way and that way. But when you're sitting, you're able to, you have a clear mind and focus your analytical skills. So this is called Poschin al Yidei Pesach. You know, it's very interesting that, just on the side, on Leil Yom Kippur we have a minug. It's pretty much in all Jewish communities of Kol Nidre, and the Mefarshim, all the commentaries wonder why was this Avera of Nidorim, you know, why do we focus our attention on Nidorim on the night of Yom Kippur? I mean, this is a night in which we want to achieve atonement for 613, not just for Nidorim. But some say that when you're Matir Neder, it's almost like a process of tshuva, of repentance. Because when a person is a penitent, he's basically declaring that when I did the avera, I wasn't totally aware of all the repercussions. I wasn't well thought out. You know, so many of our actions we do, you know, we shoot from the hip without really considering and weighing, you know, the long-term impact. And in the case of a sinner, you know, he's just interested in the pleasure of the moment, but he's not thinking what it's going to do down the road. You know, the pangs of conscience and the guilt and the ruining of his reputation, or the fact that now he's closer to God and he wants to repent. This is all like nedarim, like a Pesach of a neder. Pesach of a neder means that we investigate, and if you would have known X, would you have done what you did and taken the vow? Here too in tshuva, if you would have realized the repercussions of your sin, how it taints your personality, how it pollutes your neshama, your soul, would you have done that sin, engaged in that sin? And the answer is no. So that in that sense, Hataras Nedarim as a Pesach is paradigmic of what tshuva is all about. So it's appropriate for the day of tshuva and kapara for Yom HaKippur. Omar Mar, now we get back to discussing another issue. You remember that Rabbi Gamliel saw on the road, as he was being driven in his donkey, he saw a loaf of bread, and he said, stop. And he told Rabbi Eloi, you know, his second in command, to go pick up that bread. So we derive from that a principle called Ein Ma'virin Ala Ochlin. We see food lying, and it's like humiliating to the food. You know, we don't just pass it over and leave it sitting down there in the public domain. Omar Mar, Ein Ma'virin Ala Ochlin. The Braisa derived from the story of Rabbi Gamliel that you don't pass by Ochlin. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Lo Shadu. This only applies Ela Bidoros Harishonim. Okay, now this Gemara that we're about to learn has to do with Kshafim. And Kishuf, you know, sorcery is not something that that we're familiar with. And there were certain generations in which Kishuf, although it was a very powerful force of evil on the earth, but nevertheless those generations were so great that they could overcome any, the greats were such that they could overcome any evil forces of Kishuf. Those were the real early generations. That was called the Doris Rishonim She'ein Benos Yisrael Prutzos Bikshafen. And in those generations there was no chashash that maybe, you know, the power of Ochlin would have a power of Kishuf. I would interpret it again, the Masifta has a literal translation of this Gemara. I'm just going to be a little bit more, poetic license over here. It means that in the later generations, they knew how to handle Kshafin. In the earlier generations, they knew how to handle Kshafin. But in the later generations, again, you know, we're talking about the time of the Tanoim. But in the later generations, at the time of the Tanoim, they couldn't handle Kshafin. And the Kishuf power was very often placed into food. And therefore, B'doras Achronim She'benos Yisrael Prutzos B'Kshafin Ma'virin. Don't start picking up food from the ground. I mean, we can talk about germs today, maybe, but in those days, they talked about some sort of power of evil, some force of Kshafim, and we don't have the strength and the spiritual power to deal with these Kshifim powers, so the Kshafim powers. So therefore, don't pick up these food. And Tana, and the final conclusion in the Braisa is that Shleimim Avirin, but Psisim Ein Mavirin. if you find a full piece, a loaf of bread, a full loaf of bread, then there may be some very powerful kishuf powers that are inherent. So don't pick up a loaf of bread. If you have small pieces, pre-psisim, then the kshafim, the kishuf doesn't, they don't operate with small broken pieces. They only want a full loaf. So you don't have to worry about picking up the small pieces, the broken pieces, but the full pieces, that's very dangerous. At the time of Ram Gamliel, they were still in the Doros HaRishonim, and they could handle this kishuf. So therefore, the principle of Ein Ma'avir Nal Ochlin was in full force. All right, we don't know much about this kishuf business. We have the Gon Yaakov. He says the Raisa stated that an object found on the road may be assumed that it was lost by a non-Jew. Did the non-Jew use the bread for sorcery? I mean, Algamar seems to assume that sorcery was a problem amongst Jews. But it would seem, says the Gon Yaakov from this Gemara, that if we put two and two together, even the non-Jews were somehow involved in the practice of sorcery. And it does seem that there are many Gemaras that support that. So here also, we assume that this piece of bread belonged to a guy, because we said most of the people in that area were non-Jewish, but nevertheless, there's still a power of kishuf over here. And the final maskana is that we shouldn't pick up a full loaf of bread. We can't handle the kishuf. Amalei Rav Asi, Rav Ashi, v'apsisin lo avdan. Is it really true that we don't have to worry about kishuf in the case of small pieces of broken pieces of bread? V'aksiv, the pasuk says in Yechezkel, v'techalelena osi el ami b'shali. And you desecrate me before my nation with handfuls of barley and pieces of bread. It seems that there's a power of sorcery even in pieces of bread. And the Gemara answers, the Shakle Bagrayhu. In Yechezkel, he's referring to pieces of bread that were taken by a machshefa as payment, and they were not a medium for casting of spells. The prophet was chastising the sorceress in the name of God. Pieces of bread that you receive for your fees, you have profaned my name before my nation by aiding the prophets of Baal to trick my nation to believe them to be valid. So in other words, there is no kishuf in these broken pieces. Yechezkel HaNavi is only using the broken pieces as a reference to the profanation, if I could use that word, the desecration of God's name by the prophets of Baal, and they receive for payment these broken pieces of bread. But it wasn't that they put then some sort of a kishuf on the broken pieces of bread. Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azaria, and we're going to start now an agadata with regarding intoxication. You remember that we spoke about the fact that someone who is intoxicated should not render a decision, a ruling. And now we have a statement of Rav Sheshes in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is talking about himself. Yochal ani liftar es kol ha'olam kulo min ha'din. I can save and protect the entire Knesset Yisrael from judgment, from an evil decree that in the future is going to be brought upon the people of Israel. I could save it. And how is that so? Because miyom shecharav beis hamikdash ve'ata ve'achshav, until today, from the time of shenemar. Now this is the nevuah of Yeshayahu HaNavi, what's called nechama, as we read yesterday. Lachen shimi na zos aniyah ushchugas v'lo miyoy. All right, let's first translate the pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi literally. And it says, therefore, listen now to this poor one, the one who is drunk, but not from wine. Drunk, but not from wine. Now, what does it mean when the Navi says about the Jewish people that they're drunk, but not from wine? So he says over here, Hare Shemitzaros HaGolus, from the trials and suffering of exile, the Jews are like drunk, meaning they can't even think straight. And I can now patter them up by saying, based on this pasuk in Yeshaya, that the Jews should not be held responsible for violating any violations, because they are not called mezidim. You know, they're not deliberate sinners that are operating with a full deck. They are shikorim. They are drunk, but not miyayim. And this symbolism of the Navi, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is really a predicate for finding a vindicating the Jewish people from any claim against them, because they are like a shogeg, not like a mezid, like drunken people. When people commit sins, again, of certain sorts, but again, they may be guilty of getting drunk, but leave out that element, then if they commit sins under the influence of intoxicating beverages, then they weren't working with a full deck. You can't call them mezid, call them a shogeg, and therefore we can, as we said before, vindicate them from condemnation. Now the Gemara raises an objection to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah from a brisa with regard to a shikar. And the question is whether the actions of an intoxicated person are valid and he's held responsible for them. Mesve, the brisa tells a shikar, mekho mekach, if a person is intoxicated and nevertheless he enters into some sort of a sale, a business transaction, his sale is valid. Memkaro memkar. Whatever he buys is valid, it's his. Whatever he sells is valid, and the buyer is now the proud owner of what was sold by a drunk person. We're not going to say that since he was under the influence of intoxicating beverages, therefore there's no das, and any kinyan that's made without das, without a deliberate intention, is not valid. So too, avar avera sheyesh ba misa, if a person violates a capital crime, mimisin also, we will put him to death. If, on the other hand, he violates a crime that generates malchus, malkin also, we'll give him malchus. And we'll always assume that, unless we know otherwise, what he did and the violation that he implemented was done with full knowledge. And from the fact that this brisa compares avra avera, etc., to the resha, the first part of the brisa, mekho mekach, it means that the word shikar is the general introduction to this entire brisa. And therefore the brisa concludes with the statement, the general statement, kol shel davar reiv ki pikech chol davar, that a shikar is considered like a pikech. Pikech is someone who's working with a full deck. El shepotu min atfilo. In only one regard is the shikar excluded, and that is with regard to tefillah. He cannot be medaber b'fnei ha-melech. He cannot speak in front of the king, and therefore he's out of it as far as tefillah is concerned. But barring that one exception in the case of tefillah, for all other laws, he's held responsible. And in monetary law, his transactions are validated. In criminal law, he will be punished, whether it's malchus or misa, for his violations. Is close to the rei could be called davar. So how could Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say that the Jewish people based on his interpretation of a pasuk in Yeshaya, would be exonerated from all punishments simply because that compared to a shikar, and that's as a result of all the years of galus. The Gemara answers, "My yichol." What did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mean when he said yicholi liftar min adin as kola olam de kamar nami midin tfila? In other words, when a person davens and he doesn't have the proper intention, then he's going to be judged for tefillah without intention, meaning, you know, he's wasting away a tremendous opportunity to stand in prayer in front of the Almighty, and instead his mind is elsewhere because he's drunk. And you would think, therefore, he's going to be punished for standing in front of the King of Kings in a drunken state, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, based on his interpretation of the pasuk in Yeshaya, that I can vindicate this mispalel, this praying person from any punishment because he's considered a shikar. Again, he's not a shikar. I mean, he didn't drink a drop of wine. But he's considered like a shikar in that he is so troubled by all the travails of galus, of living amongst the goyim and all the pressures. And whenever I read this kind of Gemara, I always think of what my father told me about his shtetl. This is my father telling me about where he was born. And he used to always say that Jewish blood was hefker. I mean, there was no din, no dayan, you know, if they wanted to. My father says what saved him was a goat, believe it or not. My grandmother had a goat. And the goat would accompany my father wherever he went. And the goyim didn't start up with my father because of this goat. My father used to put us to sleep at night with stories about his goat. And I can tell you stories about my father-in-law, Zichron Levrach, who passed away 2 months ago. He came from a town called Yaroslav in Poland. And he describes the tsaris that they had from the goyim. Unbelievable. And the Jews of Yaroslav, more than one occasion, were threatened with pogroms. And it's only a miracle that they survived. I mean, many of them perished later in the Holocaust, but I'm talking before the Holocaust. So in any event, because of all these tsaris, in the light of this interpretation of Pasuk Yeshaya, we are considered in Golos to be pturim in atfila. We're like shikorim, and we cannot concentrate on atfila. We're parted from tefillah. If I'm not mistaken, the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person daven Shmon Esrei and then bangs himself in the head and he realizes he didn't have kavanah, he should not daven again. Because chances are, says the Shulchan Aruch, that he repeats his davening and he won't have kavanah the second time around either. I'm not paskini, I'm just... Now, in the note here, he quotes the Ein Yaakov. And he says, why not take this statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, one step further to its logical conclusion? V'niftar es kulanu mitfila, we should all be potter from tefila. And also he says, roi sheyom sheyosalanu l'spal, and not only should we be potter, maybe we should not be allowed to daven because we said that in the case of someone who's drunk, his tefillah is toeva, it's an abomination. So he says, Shikar potter min ha-tefillah, kevan sheyesh b'afsharuso l'spal sheyeh figyeno. The only reason we're going to establish an exemption for a drunken person from prayer is because we can wait a while and let him take a walk or take a little nap and then he could daven. But here we're talking about an ongoing, constant situation or condition of being shikorim. The efshal lefotreinu min ha-tefila, we cannot undermine the whole mitzvah of tefila. On the contrary, in exile we need tefila more desperately than ever. The emlo nispal li'olam is tispatil toras tefila. What are you going to undermine the whole enterprise and the whole mitzvah of tefila? But nevertheless, we will not hold a person responsible if he didn't have kavana because he's suffering so much from the tzaros of the golos. Amar Rav Chanina lo shanu. This din that we said that a shikar with regard to monetary law and other violations is considered like a pikeach, that's only ella shalo yigila shikuso shalot. So he drank, let's say, a revius of yain, but he didn't get to the point that he's shikar of lot. You know, lot, as you know, he woke up and he found out that he had had a relationship with his daughters. I mean, that's how drunk lot was. He wasn't at all aware of any, he had no zero awareness of what was going on, of any action that he, in a sense, participated in. In such a case, potu mikula. He is a shoter, his sale is valueless, and if he buys or sells or he commits a sin, he is considered a shoter. And the actions of a shota are not halachically valid. Amar Rav Chanina. Now, Chanina wants to now clarify what is the reward for someone who is drunk and therefore does not daven. He'll get rewarded for not davening. That's the paradox here. Kol ha-mafik mogein b'shas gaiva. Sogrim v'chosmin soros bi'ado. So I'm going to read it with the Hebrew translation. Call it mefik umavir altfiloso altfilas mogen avram. Mogen avram means the first of the 19 blessings. So if he's mafik, means he leaves out mogen avram, means he's not davening at all. Is b'shas gaiva. Now the word gaiva here, which usually means conceit, but that's not appropriate in this context. Here the word gaiva means shikrus. It means drunkenness. Now why is drunkenness called gaiva? Because usually when a person is under the influence of alcoholic beverages and he's intoxicated, he thinks of himself as great. I don't know exactly, I'm not a psychologist, I don't know if that's always the case, because sometimes liquor and alcohol is a depressant. I'm not sure. I mean, if you gentlemen wouldn't mind, you know, Googling this for me. I seem to recall that that there are other drugs, I don't know, opiates or whatever, that make you feel like you're above everybody else, above the world. But I didn't know that drinking, I can only tell you that right here in my living room, which is behind this wall, on Purim, when my members of my family get drunk, and some of them get really drunk, they get down on themselves a lot. You know, they start crying, and why didn't I achieve? But here the Gemara identifies drunkenness with gaiva. He says, "So,
yeah. Rabbi,
yes,
is a site called Addiction Center. It says that alcohol is generally a depressant, even though it can enhance your mood. It's generally considered to be a depressant,
right? Which are the drugs that are not like alcohol, that are the opposite?
I don't know, but ecstasy,
opiums. I think those drugs make you feel like you're on the top of the world, but alcohol, not so. I'm not sure how
I have no first-hand knowledge. So
right. I'm saying there's something that you could Google. I mean, there's so much literature now out there on alcoholism because it's such a terrible problem. It's getting even worse now, I think. But in any event, but here the Gemara identifies drinking wine with gaiva. And again, he says, Hashichrus kruya gaiva lefishayayin misgoa al ha'odom. So I don't know if I'm reading this correctly. He's assuming that as a result of drinking wine, he will feel uplifted. You know, he's bloated, he's conceited. I don't know. I'm just pointing out the problem to you. I'm not here to solve the problem. Just is the Gemara says, in the name of Rav Chanina, Sogrim v'chosmim tsaros ba'adam, which literally means they lock and seal off mishaps from him, that he shouldn't have all these tsaros. And as a reward, if he desists from praying, meaning he realizes that he doesn't have that ability to focus with the right kavanah, the right intention for davening, so therefore he sits down and he says, I'm not going to daven, he will be duly rewarded for that. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Eov, Gaiva afike meginim, sogur chosam tsar. Well, that's a difficult Pasuk in Eov. Let's try to at least first translate it literally. And he says the following. From the heaven they contain and seal the troubles which have occurred to him, for the verse states the intoxicated one who bypasses prayer, trouble is contained and sealed for him. Wow, that's pretty explicit. In the footnote he says that's the way Rabbi Chanina would interpret this pasuk. That's not the straightforward pshuto shel mikra. In any event, we have this statement, my mashba dahai afik lishna davurehu, right, the pasuk says afike, and we translated it afike as bypassing. How do we know that the word afike means to bypass? Dichsiv, and this we learn from a different pasuk in Eov, achai bogdu kmo nochal kafik necholim yavoru. My brethren have betrayed me like a stream, like the movement of streams they have passed me by. So you see that the word afik means to pass by. These are streams that originate from melting snow, dry up in the summer. And Job's friends betrayed him, leaving him in his time of sorrow. So that's why Rav Chanina says the word afik means to bypass, to leave him. And somebody who bypasses prayer as a result of the fact that he is drunk, he will be duly rewarded. Okay, now in the Rashi here, it seems that Rashi mentions the Pshut El Shemikra that we're talking in this pasuk about the Livyasan. The Livyasan is a gigantic fish, Misgoya. And he has a sense of pride, bechozek kashkashav, right? His scales are very strong, and they protect him. So we see that the word afike means chozek, means strong. Bechol kashkeshes dvukabo vaduka bechavrata, right? Each scale is connected to the next scale. Acha ein bir yechol lahakos beinadveken. And no one could pierce through these scales of the Livyasan. That's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Kol She'eno Mafik Itmar. He has a different interpretation of this same Pasuk in Yeshayo and Novi. And he's saying, one second, I just want to get this. I'm sorry, the pasuk in Eov, right? Gaiva afike meginim is kol she'eno mefik itmar. So he's saying that the word afik in the pasuk in Eov does not mean to pass over, but rather it means to reflect or personify, to reveal. The pasuk is that, again, this, it's not that Rabbi Yochanan is disagreeing with Rabbi Chanina. He agrees that a person should not daven when he's in a state of drunkenness, and he will be rewarded for that. But he just says, I disagree with Rabbi Hanina in terms of how he understood the word afik. Whereas Rabbi Hanina understood that the word afik means to bypass, Rabbi Yochanan understands that the word afik means to reveal, and the pasuk in Iyov is talking about those who eino mafik. Now, where do you see eino mafik? Just one second. Where is eino mafik? It says gaiva afike maginim. Oh, I see. He's learning maginim is the opposite of mafik, of afik, or mafik, right? And the translation that we offered for the word maginim was contained. I'm not sure. You know what? Maybe the word maginim means prayer. So what is mafik maginim? Eno, where's the eno? I'm trying to find out where the negative here is. Anyway, so the word afik means golui, something that's revealed. And the posk is that if he doesn't reveal his prayer, then he will be duly rewarded. My mashma da'ai mefik lishna de galuyehu. How does Rabbi Yochanan know that the word afik is referring to something that's exposed? And here he's not exposing his tefillah because he's drunk. Dechsiv, a pasuk in Tehillim, vayera'u afike mayim vayigalu mostos tevel. The channels of water became visible. So afike mayim means they became visible. The fountains of the earth became revealed. So afike here in referring to the channels of water that become visible. And this is an allusion to Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Jews saw the different channels of water, that they separated one from the other and they passed through on the dry land. Anyway, is Niru Giluye Hamayim, and the channels of water were revealed. So we see the word Afik is Lashon Megula Gilui, which means to expose that which was concealed. So the Gemara asks, Michde Kroy Mashma, Bein Lamar, Bein Lamar. In other words, whether you accept Rabbi Hanina's interpretation, and the word Afik means to bypass, or Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation, Afik means to reveal. But they both come to the same exact conclusion, that if somebody doesn't daven because he's shikar, then he will be protected from tsaros. So my benayim, is there any difference between the two explanations of the pasuk? And the Gemara answers, ika benayu derav sheshes. Derav sheshes mosar shinsei lishamoi. In other words, I guess he told his Heisbacher to let him sleep. So he drank some wine. He says, let me rest a little bit and wake me up when it's time to daven. Ismar isle d'rav sheshes, umar lesle d'rav sheshes. Rabbi Yochanan accepts Rav Sheshes, and all he had to do was, you know, take a short nap, a little dremel, and then he's allowed to daven. Whereas Rabbi Hanina does not accept Rav Sheshes, and it's not enough that he has a short nap to allow him to daven. Now let's see how this works into the two drushos. So if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan says that you should not daven when you're drunk, so then all you need is a short nap and you're no longer drunk. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now let's go according to Rabbi Hanina. He says that it's not enough to take a short nap. Why? Because he interpreted that b'shas shikrus, that when a person is drunk, he should bypass tefillah. And that's how he interpreted the word mefik. He says, mashmash yesh la'avir legamrei ad shiyis orer me'ela. So the Gemara somehow assumes that since Rabbi Hanina says that b'shas gaiva is mefik, he's over al tefillah, so it's the moment of tefillah, but he's going to bypass tefillah, he's going to delay his tefillah. It's not going to be enough that he takes a little nap. So I don't know, according to Rabbi Hanina, how long of a time of sleeping you would have to. Says the Gemara that we had back on Samat Aleph Beis says that Stam Shena Kol Shehu Mafigo Es HaYayin. So he drank a revius of Yayin, and all he has to do is just fall asleep for a few seconds, you know, what we call a power nap, you know, just for a few minutes. Im nechleku bekach Rabbi Hanina Rabbi Yochanan. He says the following: if they drank a revius, then it's a little bit difficult that Rabbi Hanina should not accept the principle that we established before, that shasa revius is mefigo b'sheina kolshu. And if, on the other hand, we're talking about someone who drank way, way beyond the revius of yayin, then it's hard to understand Rabbi Yochanan. Why should a very short power nap be enough? So the Marsha says, Medubar b'sheshasa yosa mirevius. We're talking about a case where he drank more than a revius. V'nosan l'shamsho l'sha'er kama shena hutzorich v'chtei sheyifog yeno. Y'al kach nechlak Rabbi Hanina v'omash b'ofen zeh. Yesh lahamtin ad sheyeor me'elo. The machlokis is the following. This is the Marsha. He drank more than a revius. So the Gemara that we learned above, that Shena Kolshu is mefig, that's not applicable, because that only applies when he drank exactly a revius. And here we have machlokis between Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that he can tell his shamish to wake him up, and he relies on his shamish to evaluate how much time he has to sleep in order to be mefig tam yena when he drank more than a revius yayin. So let's assume that the shamish came to the conclusion that a 10-minute nap will be sufficient. So he wakes him up after 10 minutes, and Rabbi Hanina says, go ahead and daven. I'm sorry, that was Rabbi Yochanan, I meant to say. And Rabbi Hanina says, no. The shamish is not going to be in the driver's seat, so to speak, to determine how much time, what minimum amount of sleep he needs in order to be mefig yeno, but rather he has to allow the person who drank more than revius yayin to sleep and sleep and sleep until he wakes up. It's only when he wakes up on his own, that's when we know that he's no longer under the influence of the wine. But again, I'm still leaving one question unanswered. How does Rabbi Yochanan understand that if the word mafik means gilui, so how do we interpret here that it means what? That he doesn't reveal his tefillah. He doesn't daven while he's drunk. Where do you see that in the pasuk? Kavoso afike maginim sogur chosam tsar. Oh, Baruch Hashem, Namar Shayas Maikasha. Yesh la hakshos. Ketzad nilman zos min aposik alo aposik vidavral ala megala v'lo misha eino megala. Right, the posik is speaking about afike, those who reveal tefillah, not those who conceal tefillah. The Rasha, wow, this is, I see how difficult this question was, you know, how, you know, the Rasha was very hard-pressed on this. He says, Yesh lefareish es hateva afik binotrukon lo mafik she'eno megala. I don't get it. No trikun lo mafik. Where do you get lo mafik in this puzzle? It says afike. I guess he's taking the aleph of afik and he's adding a lamed to it, making it lo afik. I don't know. I don't know how you do that. Ubitosis Rabbeinu Peretz Pirish B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam Shekachu Pirish Aposuk Gaiva Afike Meginim Sogur. You see what he's doing? He's adding the word Sogur to Meginim. You know, we usually put a comma after the word Meginim. He's taking out the comma. So it's Gaiva Afike Meginim Sogur. Hainu Misha Soger Afike Meginim She'eno Megalim Mogen. Mogen is the first bracha of Shmon Esrei. B'eis Gaiva is then Chosmim Tsuras Tsuros Ba'ado. Okay, I like that a lot better than the Notrikin of the Marsha. He's adding the word Sogur. So when you read Afike Meginim Sogur, so it means that he's Soger the Afike Meginim. So Meginim is referring to Shmon Esrei, right? The first brach is called Mogen Avram. And Sogur means that he's Soger the Afik. You know, the Afik is the revealed tefillah, and he's Soger, he shuts it down. Okay. Omer Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Omer Rav Kol She'ein Daitum Yusheves Olav Al Yispalel. Right, if a person cannot focus, then he should not daven. He should have a clear mind before he davens. Okay. Mishum shenemar, because it says batsar al yore. Now where is this pasuk batsar al yore? That if he's in a state of tzara, of tzar, then he should not issue a verdict. Ha-posuk hazeh lo nimtza b'shum makom. It doesn't exist. And Rashi suggests that it may come from the Apocrypha, you know, those Sfarim like Ben Sira. And Tosis, in this long Tosis Batsar, writes that we find in many places that the Shas brings Mikros Haksuvim Misefer Ben Sira. Interesting. Alright, so once again we have to do a little bit more research about the book of Ben Sira. Then Tosis says the following, that the Gemara doesn't have in mind a specific pasuk, but rather we learned from many, many different psukim already that if a person is in a state of tzaros, then he should not issue a verdict, he should not daven. So the Gemara's intention, when it quotes, so to speak, a pasuk, is really to the pasuk that we say v'shichrus v'lo miayin, from which we learn that if a person is in tzara, he's like a shikar. Correct? That was the end of the pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi. Alright. Now the Gemara tells us some stories. We always like stories about how you have to have the proper mindset in order to daven and in order to issue a halachic ruling. Okay, but I see it's time to end the shiur right now. So let's just make a note of where we got up to. We're on Samachei Amid Aleph, and we're about halfway through the Amud, and we are up to Rabbi Chanina. Correct? Where is Rabbi Chanina? Here it is. Rabbi Chanina. Okay then. So let me take this opportunity to wish you a great day. And Yirtzeh Hashem lehitraot. And we'll see you tomorrow. Okay then? Okay, thank you.